Praise the Lord, everybody. And what a privilege to come together to worship and honor Him and to hear from Him. His word is so special. And we'll be talking about that just a little later in this service. Thank you to everyone who is joining us. And due to weather conditions in our area, we've chosen to live stream. It's one of the things that COVID helped us with, to be able to learn how to do some things differently. Pulled us out of the box, I guess, as they say. But nonetheless, the Lord is the same. Our methods may change, but the message is the same. And we welcome guests that may be joining us here this evening for our service. Thank you for tuning in. And then all of the faithful members of Apostolic Pentecostal Church, pray you have remained safe today and will remain safe during this time. This morning on KMOX, they were calling it the morning winter survival. That sounds pretty drastic. Sound like we were up in Alaska. So I know there are folks that have conditions much worse than we do, but still, it was enough struggle. And all you have to do is sit in traffic for about double the amount of time that it would normally take you, or any other conditions that challenge you, to let you know maybe that word survival isn't all that off the mark. Thank you for joining with us, and let's join together. Let's just thank the Lord together for His blessings to us. Now, Lord, we're thanking You as we begin this service. We give You thanks, O God. We give You thanks, Lord. We praise You, O God, for Your goodness. And this is the day that You have made. And God, because You're the Creator and You are in control, we know that we will be able to navigate whatever it is that comes to us throughout a day or throughout an evening, throughout our lifetime. We praise You. We honor You as the God who is in control. We praise You today now, and we thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. On the heels of that, praising the Lord, we're going to continue in a spirit of prayer tonight, and we have some folks that need our prayers, and we're going to join together with brothers and sisters. And I want you, especially if you are with family members, but if you are all alone watching, I'm going to ask any of those here and anybody watching, if you have a special need, just to lift it up before the Lord. If there's some kind of special request that you have. And I know it may seem like, well, nobody's seeing that, but God is. And even when we lift our hands here and others are around us, we don't know the details. And so, but that was an expression of faith. As you just lifted your hand, that was an expression of faith. And God is going to answer that need and minister to that need because of your faith. Here are some others. Brother Ron Smith, Sister Paula Savala, Lori Bachman. This is Aaron's stepmother, needs the touch of God. Linda Avery, this is Jeremy Elkins' grandmother, a good report. She's been able to be released from the hospital. Brianna Jackson for healing. Brother Dan and Sister Karen Schnur, both needing a healing touch from the Lord this evening. And then also Brother Donald Curtis, a precious elder in our Missouri district, needing the healing touch of the Lord. In the last several services, we have been focusing prayer for our nation, our military, and all related leadership. And so we're going to join together for covering of our nation and our military stationed here in the States, and then also around the world. So would you join together? And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand together from right where you are, if that's possible. Stand together, and let's believe the Lord and trust His name. Lord, we thank You now, and we do. We rally around the banner of Your name right now. God, You're a miracle worker right at this moment. You're a miracle worker, Lord. And as we pray this prayer, oh God, I believe that we have Your attention, God. I know that we do. You said it, we ask. You said it, we knock. You said it, we would seek after You, that You would respond to any of those actions. And so now in faith, We trust and believe you for your healing strength to those who need you, God. Each name that we mentioned, God, Brother Ron Smith, thank you for this man. Touch him, Sister Paula, for Lori Bachman, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for touching Linda Avery, God. Be with Brianna, oh Lord, and then also Brother Curtis, your healing flow. By your stripes we are healed, oh Lord. And then I pray, oh God, for every request that was lifted up, signified by the hand raised. God, you know the details of that. You know the details. God, I feel your presence here right now. I sense it, oh Lord. You are so close to us. I thank you, oh God. Bless our nation and our military, Lord. Cover us. We need your righteousness. We need your covering. We need your protection, oh God, to our leaders and to our military. And we need your wisdom, oh God, and we need your righteousness, oh God. We need it, Lord. And you see that. You see that, and we pray for it. Let us be a voice. Help us. Let our lives be an example to others. Let us have an impact on our community here in St. Louis metro area, our neighbors, our family members, others, oh God, and even any leaders who we might be able to associate with. I know we can pray for them. We may never shake their hand, but we can pray for them, and we do that, Lord, right now. Every leader in our county, every leader in our city, every leader in our state and in our nation, we pray it all now. Thanking you for hearing us. Thanking you for the security that we feel in your name and by your presence. We thank you now, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And if you were standing, you may be seated. We're going to get right to the word of the Lord tonight from Isaiah chapter 11. And last Wednesday, I began this lesson, and you probably received a lesson sheet along with the email that you received about tonight's plans. And so if you want to follow along, we'll be picking up. It'll be on the second side of the lesson sheet where we will eventually start. From Isaiah chapter 11 and beginning with verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. My heart and spirit and attention has been drawn to this section for the past couple of weeks, and I know that there is a message that God is delivering to APC and to others. So we started last Wednesday night. I continued on somewhat on Sunday, but the working of the Spirit just directed us some other directions in both of those services, and so there is more. And I just feel a very great intensity in my spirit to deliver this specifically for our APC family, but really it applies to everyone and anyone. The things that God wants us to do and wants to give to us because the Spirit of the Lord does rest upon us. I think we have more equipping than we really realize, or that we give ourselves and God credit for. But there is a great equipping, and you know, and I know, and certainly the Lord knows, that in this day and time we need the Holy Ghost. We need that Spirit that Isaiah wrote about resting upon us, and it does rest upon us. And when we have the Spirit and when we have His Word, God works in our lives, and He works so accurately. In fact, with pinpoint accuracy, it's evident in these verses of Scripture as He predicts about the Messiah that's going to be born. And what we know is it was 700 years later when that birth took place, from the time when Isaiah first wrote these words that we are reading. And in particular, when you study through this verse, he uses the terms about a rod and then about a stem and about a branch. And that particular word branch is the word from which the name Nazareth, the city that Jesus grew up in, his hometown, is derived. So even in a very subtle way, very accurately, Isaiah predicts to us and prophesies for our knowledge even the area where Jesus was going to be grow up in. He was born in Bethlehem, but grew up in Nazareth. It's the pinpoint accuracy that deserves our attention. His word and his spirit are so accurate as they work in our lives. We can trust that accuracy of the Lord. Here's what I mean. So many times we don't understand. Why do we feel to pray for a certain person? Why does that person come to our mind through the day or in a time of prayer? Why is it that a certain verse of scripture leaps out to us as we read it and we dwell on it? And I would encourage you, I've been trying to practice this myself in Bible study. Sometimes I'm wanting to get through the particular reading that I'm assigned to for that day, and then I'll just maybe more interested in completion than I am from absorption of what God has to say there. But if he pauses you, take that pause and listen for the voice of the Lord, and maybe it might mean a little more research. So as you feel directed to read a certain section of scripture, that's part of the pinpoint accuracy of the Spirit resting in our lives and the accuracy of his word wanting to work in our life. I've experienced it with this particular Bible study and message. I don't know why, even still to this very point in time, all of why the Lord has directed with his pinpoint accuracy. I do know that he wants to deliver these things into our hearts and lives. That much I know. And if that's the total reason, then that's why we're walking through these messages and through these verses. God is working with pinpoint accuracy, even in this message here tonight. What this prophecy that I read in just a few moments ago, what that means to us and for us, is that what the Spirit did for the Messiah, the Anointed One, God does want to do for you and I. He wants to give us these blessings that we're going to study from here tonight. He wants to fill you. He wants to anoint you with his pinpoint accuracy, with the gifts and the attributes of the Spirit. He wants his Spirit to rest or remain heavy upon your life. And by the word heavy, here's what I mean. It will be definite. There will be no doubt about it to you or to others. There will be people who will say, I do not know what is different about them. What they are sensing is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost resting upon you. Why do people come to you, maybe at work or family members or in your community and in the world that you work and live in? Why do they come to you in particular when there is a need in their life or their family? It's because of that heaviness, that sense, that definiteness. There is an unmistakable difference about you in your life. Thankfully, it's because of the Spirit of the Lord. It's nothing that we have attained to. It's nothing that we can take credit for totally, only that we have allowed to work the Lord, let the Lord work through our life. In verse 2, he talks about, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of the Almighty God, not a secondary, not a lesser God, not a subordinate spirit, but the Spirit of the Almighty God. And he uses that promise word shall right here. The Holy Ghost is meant for every individual. And I want to stop right here and just speak to anyone watching who has not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, this promise. God wants you to have it. We must have it. And he wants to give it to you. You need not wonder if it's for me. God meant you when he made this promise and other promises. If you will have faith, if you will repent, if you will be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those are things that you can do. Those are things that each of us, that's our part to do and our gate that we have to walk through. But if we will do those things, the promise is you will receive the Holy Ghost. I've got several scriptures here, and Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he's not slack concerning his promises. Of course, about the Holy Ghost, Acts 2 and 39, the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off and as many as the Lord our God shall call. There will be somebody watching this that needs that message tonight. The Holy Ghost is for you. God is for you and with you, and he wants you to know. I've got other promises listed here, and I will not read them all, but you just go through scripture yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, Acts 2 and 38 and 39 that I just read. All of these hold the promise that God wants to give to you his presence. In the same way the requirements are essential and absolute and definite, the promise is just as definite. God said, I want the Spirit to rest upon you. And in the Old Testament, Isaiah didn't know all that he was writing about. He did not have the full revelation. He didn't understand it all, but thank God he obeyed. And that's back to what I was talking about a while ago. Go ahead and obey when the Spirit directs. Go ahead and obey when the Spirit directs you in a certain manner. And the scripture here says that it is going to rest upon you. That means it's going to be settled. That means it's going to abide. The Holy Ghost doesn't come upon us when we come through these church doors. And then it leaves us when we exit the property. You know, you've already felt the presence of God today in various places that you are. You're feeling the presence of God now as we read his word and talk about him and preach about him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that Spirit wants to rest and attend to us permanently, not a come and go. The scripture does say in Acts 2, it sat upon each of them. There is an abiding presence of the Lord. And now, because that Spirit of the Lord abides upon us, he will give us or gift to us certain characteristics. And Isaiah's listing talks about the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And we previously taught and preached about those. Tonight I want to pick up, and again, this is on the second side of your lesson sheet if you are following, the spirit of counsel. The spirit of counsel. Folks, decisions you and I make every day are crucial. Brother Ron Mullings preaches a message, and you could probably find it out there on the internet. It's entitled, Decisions You Didn't Know You Were Making. We have had that message here by Brother Mullings. We make decisions on a particular day at a particular time. But the effects of that decision impact and alter many days beyond that one day of decision. Decisions we make every day are crucial. And that's why the spirit of counsel is so important. If you and I will allow him, church, if you will allow his spirit, the Holy Ghost, to guide you, sometimes that guiding is knowingly, sometimes it's unknowingly. We don't realize that it's God or his spirit that is helping us or directing us. We will be able to make the best and the right decision that is needed. The spirit of counsel, when you look at this particular word and what Isaiah meant and what the Holy Ghost really meant, it's an equipping to be able to give counsel or to give advice. In other words, to form and present a plan. How many times have we had folks come to us for advice or counsel? Maybe in your family, if you're a family leader, or a peer, or a sibling, or anyone, a friend comes and they need a plan. But the spirit of counsel from the Holy Ghost can give us a God-sanctioned plan. In other words, here's what you can and should do. The Spirit of God intends to help us in our everyday living. Now, let me say, and you understand, that there are some things, God also gave us the gift of common sense. So there's some things we don't need to pray about. There's some things that it doesn't matter what, probably to God, what color Kleenexes you get. Some of those things, I'm not talking about that kind of counsel. I'm talking about crucial decisions in your life. To be able to form the right conclusions. And also, the spirit of counsel has to do with being able to deal with people and life situations. We need this in life. We need it in our families. We need it in business, employment, in financial matters. We need it as leaders. In order to counsel and give good advice, we need clarity of purpose. The Holy Ghost provides that. We can't go into any kind of counseling session or any kind of advice giving without a clear knowledge of purpose. Here's what I mean by that. Seeing the purpose. What purpose? God's purpose. The one that He intends. The Holy Ghost can help us to know and see that. His Word can help us. The purpose that a person should fulfill. God will help us. Now, we don't know when we're counseling somebody or when we're advising our children or our friends. We don't know all the details of their past life. We cannot see the future. But God knows those details. And God knows the future. And He doesn't even need to equip us with all of the details that we are dealing with. But He can lead us to give the right word of counsel and the right word of advice that person, there's a purpose for every life. And just think about this. This is how important and how weighty counsel is. The person that we are counseling, God has a purpose for their life. And anything we say to them and any way we influence them can direct them away from or direct them toward that purpose. The Spirit's leading will always stay within the boundaries of God's Word. If there is something that speaks to your thoughts or a spirit or anything else, and if it's outside the boundaries of God's Word, you will be able to recognize that that is not the presence and the Spirit that is to rest upon us. Sometimes we counsel and somebody's going through a certain particular challenge or trial or blessing. There's a purpose for that particular situation. And if we can have a clarity of purpose that the Holy Ghost can give to us. And I found myself thinking, and maybe as I describe this, you're saying, oh, Pastor, that's way beyond me. I will admit there are many things that all of us have handled that are way beyond us. But I'm talking about a spirit that is beyond us. And a God who is able to take us beyond ourselves, not for our glory. Not for our benefit, but so that He would be glorified and then we and others can be helped. Somebody going through a particular situation, what does God intend by allowing that situation? What good can come? And I'll just stop here and say, I don't think we should always feel pressured to have words and have the answer. Sometimes just our presence being there. But yet on the other hand, we should stay open and allow the Spirit. And if we are in a spiritual vein and if we have been talking to the Lord, this is why it's so important every day for prayer and every day to read the Word of the Lord, because there are going to come situations, personal ones that we need to deal with, and then in the lives and situations of others. And we need to know what good can come from this challenge, what good can come from this trial, or even what good does God intend from that blessing. And the Spirit can and does give to us, and it provides this clarity of purpose. So many times in Scripture, God is referred to as a counselor. And I think I put several verses there in the notes. He's referred to as our counselor in so many places. What caught my attention again this morning is in Psalm 33, 10 and 11, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. Not only does He have His own counsel, but He can bring to nothing the counsel of someone or something that is trying to work against his will and his plan. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. He said in verse 10, but verse 11 of Psalm 33 says, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. If you get direction from God, that stands forever. The word that you have spoken to somebody that came from the Holy Ghost and based on the word of the Lord, that is going to stand no matter what else is going on around that person or that situation. So we need that spirit of counsel, and he is the great counselor. I thought about as I was reading about that particular attribute of the Spirit. There's been times sitting back in that office during a counseling session, and after the person or the couple or the persons would leave, I sat back in my chair and I would just sit back and say, where did that come from? I had not pre-thought it. I had not been able to study about it, because sometimes, as you know, in those kind of situations, things get sprung on us and a question comes, or a situation that we didn't see coming has hit that family or that person. Where did that come from? We know where. It's kind of a rhetorical question, isn't it? We know where it came from. The Lord came in as the counselor to help you and I who are trying to counsel somebody, looking out for their best. Brothers and sisters, I just ask you, I ask everyone viewing this, pray for one another. Pray for others. Get a burden. Carry one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. And as we pray for them, God will give us a sensitivity, not only to him, but to those and the needs in their lives. And so I remember another particular time, the very first time that we were called to go to St. Louis University to speak to some postgraduate students. They already had a college degree and they were going on for a master's degree. And the professor, his name was Gary, he picked up one of our brochures. This is the pinpoint accuracy of God. Our choir, and we did a little outreach down at Soulard Market, down there in the inner city, wasn't far from our previous church location. And so the choir was up there singing in that little pavilion, and we were handing out flyers. In fact, I think I remember the color, because Professor Gary showed it to me, a yellow flyer that was there, and it advertised about the church. And here was this university professor down there shopping at Soulard, like a lot of us still like to do. And down there in the inner city, if you thought you were going to touch postgraduate students, you wouldn't have thought that that would be the place where God would plant the seed. But sure enough, he did. And so he called and contacted, used the number that was on the little promotion there, and called the church office and asked if we could come down and speak to that class. He wanted his class to hear about all different kind of religions, and Pentecost would be one of them. And so we went down. I took Brother Fred Bradley with me and Brother George Vassell, and we went down to talk to these students. They were seated in a circle in the room, and I never will forget the pressure I felt. Even I had my computer out there at the office and preparing, and I remember stopping and thinking, oh my, this is not going to work. I do not have a postgraduate degree. I am not a professor, and I'm just a preacher. Just a preacher. Just a preacher? Yeah. When you have the Holy Ghost, when you have the Spirit of God, he can take you beyond yourself. And you may feel, I'm just a member, or I'm just a mom, or I'm just a dad, or I'm just an uncle, or I'm just a son, or I'm just a daughter. But if God speaks to you something, yield to that. Let God use you, and he may use you through any one of these attributes, but it might be through, here's a plan, here's some knowledge that you can receive. And so we began to give the presentation. And so, of course, The best evidence is an experience. The best evidence is somebody's personal experience. They can argue with an argument, but it's hard to argue with an experience. And so Brother Fred Bradley began to tell about how God began to work in his life because he had thoughts and plans of taking his own life. In fact, had went down into a sporting goods store, I believe it was, and he had shopped for the weapon that he would use. He was eventually contacted a friend from up north, and that friend witnessed to Brother Fred, and of course the rest of the story is Brother Fred was in service this past Sunday again. After all, I think it was somewhere in the mid-90s when God dealt with his life. Well, he began to tell this testimony, and you could see the attention of these students riveted on this man. Him and George got more attention than I got, and that was the right thing to happen. You know, I was worried about all my notes and worried about all that stuff, but when that experience began to be given and when that relationship with God began to be described, and then George Vassell begins to give his testimony. And I remember witnessing at both Fred and George gave their testimony. Those students, I looked around and I saw tears in that postgraduate classroom. What was that? That was the Spirit of God. It was resting. You know, perhaps I was all worried about, I can get anointed behind an APC pulpit, but I don't know about that anointing in that classroom, but it happened. It happened. We ended up having prayer during that time, and the presence of God just settled in because it was more than tears. George talked about picking up little children. He gave his own testimony of how God delivered him, and his father had prayed for him, and his father had descended from Armenian descent and come over to this country and prayed for that boy, George, and God touched his life. And those of us who are part of the APC family who knew him know what a great testimony he was. But tears began to stream down those students' faces as Fred gave that testimony of God's rescue. God wants to rescue somebody tonight. No matter how deep you are in despair, no matter how far you feel like you have gone and how far gone the situation is. Oh, God, Brother Fred, if you're watching right now, I want you to agree in prayer for somebody that may be in a similar situation just like you were. Oh, God. And so when they heard how God can rescue, when both of those men told about the rescuing power of the Spirit, and the great thing about their testimony is it rested, it resided, it remained upon them. Brother Fred, as I said, still continues to serve the Lord, and he himself has come through a great tragedy and a great trial over the last several months in the loss of his son. But I saw him worship God on this past Sunday morning. God used him in the gifts of the Spirit this Sunday morning. Why? Because the Spirit wants to rest upon you. And if God can do that for a man going through a tragedy, he can keep you and remain in your life and upon you anything through anything that you go through. He wants to do it, and he is doing it right now. So we continued the class after that prayer time. I kind of thought everything was wrapped up, and we opened it for questions. And there was one, it was a young woman. Most of these folks were either in their mid-20s and then on up in the 30s and 40s, 40 years of age. And there was a young woman there, a student. And she said, after she witnessed and heard their testimony and the presence and the power of God was there in that room and in that classroom, here's what she said. She lifted her hand, and I will forget it. She was seated right over there in that circle. She said, well, she says, I just want to tell you. I just want to tell you. She said, I went to one of these Pentecostal churches out in Kansas City. She didn't name it. I don't know if it was United Pentecostal Church whatever. But she said, I went to one of these services. And she said, all I can say is it felt like fire went through my body. And I tell you, everybody's eyes bugged out, and I felt the fire of God. Those students, I think they felt it when she said it. I felt the fire of God come into that place. And that's when I realized God is no respecter of places or persons. And here, what I was all worried about in preparation and wanted the right advice and the right counsel, God had already taken care of all of that. Now, I needed to do my part. I needed to prepare, and we had a good preparation there that would try to, as thoroughly as possible, present Pentecost. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing to match the spirit of counsel and the spirit of the Lord that gives the advice and can touch the heart. And if you're dealing with somebody to give them counsel, you can't force them. Nobody can force them into a decision. Nobody can force anyone into a different lifestyle. But we can pray for them. We can touch them through the power of God. And that young woman that was a witness that day, she had to witness several weeks before in her visit to that church. But in that moment, in that classroom, there was the power and the presence of Almighty God. He wants to rest upon you and I. I'm going to ask you, I'm getting ready to conclude right now. But the presence of God, He wants to do this for you. I feel like in particular, some things that God wants to do today. And I'm going to ask everybody that's viewing to pray with me. And if you're in one of these need areas I'm getting ready to mention, just open your life. Open your life and be receptive. But if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you need to receive the baptism of His Spirit, if you need to have that Spirit rest upon and in your life, it's for you. You believe in God. You have a faith in Him. That's the first step. Repent of anything that you know of that may have been a violation of God and His Word. And repentance means not only to talk about it and to say it before God. And you can do that right where you are, or at any point and any time. It also means to then do an about face with your life and your intentions, your purposes and your actions, to go away from anything that violated God and His Word and begin to walk toward God and alignment with His Word. And you can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That can happen anywhere. It's by immersion in the name of Jesus as you believe in His name. And then keep your life open after you repent, after you have faith and repent. It could happen at any time. People have received the Holy Ghost before they were even water baptized. They've received it when they went down into the tank and come up and they were speaking in other tongues. They received it a day after or weeks after. God wants to give it. And it's never about God, when are you ready for me to receive the Spirit? He is always ready. It's us who must become ready. God wants to give someone His Spirit. In fact, in this instruction, perhaps there's a member of APC or a saint of God or an apostolic believer who already has the Holy Ghost. Maybe you could just convey some of this to somebody that you've been talking about or talking with, or somebody that's been on your heart and in your mind, to instruct them that God wants it. It's His promise all throughout the Scripture to you, your children, all that are far off. And then I really feel like that we need to pray for others who are in the midst of challenge, an intercessory prayer that we can pray for them, and then God can open up a way where we would be able to speak with them and speak to them to help them, to give them counsel and give them advice. Oh, so many people need a word from God. They need a word from God. And I want us to pray to be that voice, to be able to give that word. And then leave yourself open to receive any of these gifts, these giftings of God. But in particular, those that we have covered tonight, the promise of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of counsel. The Spirit of counsel. I'm going to ask you if you would stand together if that's possible. and several of you are probably with your family members. Just open your heart. We need to be open for the Lord to rest upon us. We need to be, don't be ashamed. In fact, God wants to do something right now. He wants to, there's a reason somebody's coming to your mind. He wants to give somebody a key word. He wants to give somebody a particular point. He wants to give somebody insight right now. You do, Lord, you do. Let's pray, Lord. I want to thank you for the great gift of the Holy Ghost. I pray for anyone and everyone who would need it tonight. I pray for a refilling and infilling to all of us who already have it. Oh, yes, I'm okay. And then anyone, Lord, that has never received the fulfillment. God, you've already promised it. It's not about them having to wait on a promise. You have already given the promise. I pray that you would help them to prepare their hearts. Help them, O Lord, to obey any instructions that they previously received, including in tonight's message. Then, Lord, help them to leave their hearts open to receive what you want to give them in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lead them, O Lord, direct them, I pray, hallelujah. And then I pray for those who are going through deep challenges right now. And I pray for those of us who are being called upon to help them. God, give us a word of counsel for our children. Give us the word of counsel for our spouse. Give us the word of counsel for our brothers and sisters, other family members, oh God. Give us a word of counsel. God, it's not necessarily your booming voice, although you can do it. But you want to speak to our thoughts right now. You're giving somebody a word. You're giving somebody a voice. You're giving somebody a prompting. And God, I pray that you would help us to have the courage to exercise the might, to speak the word, to give the counsel, O Lord. Let your anointing flow in lives right now. Let your anointing that's in church pray. Go ahead, guests, join in prayer. Let it flow right where you are. Your spirit, O God, to touch us. Your spirit to touch us, O Lord. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Would you just let this spirit settle? Yes, we are coming near the end of our service tonight, but God's presence is lingering. God's presence is here. He's right where you are. He's right upon you. He's doing what Isaiah prophesied he would do thousands of years ago. He prophesied it. Now it's happening again, and it will happen over and over and over again. I know, Lord, but this is our moment. This is our time. And I pray as you talk to us, I pray as you speak to us, names and situations, God, and help us to rightfully handle whatever information you convey to us. Help us now, Lord. I thank you tonight. I thank you tonight, Lord. I thank you. Let's thank him again. We started by thanking him for his presence. Let's thank him some more here, Lord. I want to thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you, oh Lord. You know exactly what we need. And while this service has not been in situations and an atmosphere that we're normally in, as far as all being able together and into a building, Nonetheless, you're real. It's powerful. It's powerful. I thank you, O Lord. Lead us to people. Help us to be sensitive, God. And I pray that you would even move upon those who need to ask and need to request for counsel and advice. Perhaps they're requesting from you that you're going to choose to use a vessel. You're going to choose to use a believer to speak into their life. Help us all to be sensitive to that, those who need that counsel and those who are needed to give that counsel. I thank you, O Lord. I thank you today. I thank you today. I thank you today. Praise God. Praise God. APC and guests who are viewing today, I just want everybody to know we are a blessed church. We are a blessed church. We've been in existence for 86 years. That's a sign of faithfulness. But it's not what makes us great. What makes us what we are is the power and the residing presence of the Lord. And you talk about this church. It's been earmarked. It's been characterized by the Spirit of God. I remember seeing former pastors moved upon to preach or yield to the Spirit as the Holy Ghost would come. I've seen saints in this building, in the previous building. And as I look around here tonight, I'm thinking of individuals that I've watched you respond. And some of them now have gone on and they're having a great time in the mighty presence of the Lord Almighty. But we're blessed. We're blessed. I want to invite any guests that can in the future come and visit with us in a service. Just give it one chance. Or if you're not anywhere near here, if there's some other location that would be nearer to you, call this church office and we'll give you the nearest location where you can enjoy the blessing and the presence of God. Just a couple of announcements for our APC family. Next Wednesday night, a week from now, will be our annual business meeting. That'll be at 6:30 p.m. That's for all members of APC. And then later on, we will have pre-service prayer and then go into the evening Bible study. That's next Wednesday, the 17th of February. And then February 20th and 21st, our missions conference. Brother Scotty Sladen and Brother Harold Linder are going to be ministering the word of the Lord. And these conferences always are blessed by the power and the presence of God. And on that Saturday night, on the 20th, we'll have a time of prayer and praying for our world and praying for one another. And then on Sunday, the ministry in the two services at 9 and at 11. We will have the ministry of Brother Linder and Brother Sladen, and we'll recommit to the Lord. And I believe one of the blessings that have been upon that meeting is the way that the people of God are sensitive to be able to give what God has blessed them with in a sacrificial form, even to the extent of sacrifice. And so would you be praying for both of those things, our business meeting and then our missions conference? And I know we say this often, to pray for specific services, but would you do that? Just make sure that those services are saturated with the power of prayer and the prayers of God's people. God bless you, and thank you once again for being with us for another great time together in the presence of the Lord.